Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Drawing Heat, and the time is now! Hit the music! And now, here are your hosts, Beach and the Dude.
Hello and welcome to Drawing Heat. I am the Beach. Sitting right opposite me to the diagonal left for the first time tonight is the Dude. Hello, Dude!
I would say hello, but... Oh, shit, sorry. Hello, Beach, how you doing?
I'm good.
My goodness.
Off to a great start, as usual, here on Drawing Heat.
Oh, yeah. 20 minutes of tomfoolery and a lot of, you know, mindless singing of just crap.
Well, I wouldn't say it was mindless singing.
We had to put a lot of thought into it.
I know. We were just changing the words to Phil Collins' Against All Odds pretty much the last 20 minutes. One day we'll release that and it'll be comedy gold.
It would be. It'd be Phil Collins and Mr. Hankey present comedy gold.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have to edit out quite a bit of it, because I sound like Phil Collins, and you sound a bit like Phil Collins doing an impersonation of Mr. Hankey or Towley.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it went.
But we are here today to do our review of EPW Collision Course, which happened on the weekend.
Yep, Saturday, April 29th at Body Slam Central.
Yeah, it was a pretty good show overall.
I thought so. The main event obviously was changed, but we'll get into that, and we'll get into everything that went down, as far as from our perspective, and those of other fans. But yeah, we will cover it.
Yes, but before we do, we have to talk about the food that we had there as well. Yeah, the naughty food van or food truck that was there.
Yeah, the naughty food truck. I like to call it the gut truck.
Yep, and those cheeseburger spring rolls.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, you had one of them.
I know, and that just perplexed me. I ate it, and it was nice, but... You couldn't ask me what was in it, because I had no idea.
What it was, because I actually did take a bite and I had a look in there. So it's like a spring roll with mince and cheese in there.
There was cheese in there, some bitch?
It was it's a cheeseburger, spring roll.
I just thought it tasted like a cheeseburger.
No, so it had mince and cheese and like cheese sauce type thing in there. And then, it had ketchup, mustard, diced pickle on top, and a shake of sesame seeds.
I'll be damned.
And apparently they're pretty famous for them, and I can see why.
Crikey, how much did I set you back?
It was $10, three of them, I think. But they were decent size, not little cocktail spring rolls. They were full size, like almost like a Chico roll size spring roll.
Well, they're going to do some good business if they keep coming back.
I hope they do.
Good stuff.
We had the Spud Man the last show. We got them. I don't know, we're going to have someone different at the next show. It's all a surprise.
There's Bubba Ray Spudley at the last show.
The name? Well, it wasn't the actual name, was it?
I thought it was just the Spud guy. Looked like Razor Ramon potato in his face. I don't know.
But no, because he was Irish for starters.
Make way for a Spud guy.
Anyway, we're babbling. We don't want to do that.
Yeah, babbling is bad.
Yeah. Bad, okay.
Okay.
Okay. So, Collision Course. So, shall we get straight into it? Or was there anything else you wanted to cover beforehand?
No, mate. Let's dive straight into it. First match.
First match.
You're up, son.
First match on the card was Julian Ward. Taking on debuting in his first singles match, the natural Cal Cousins. So Cal Cousins did make his debut last show at Gold Rush in the four-way debutante match with Tucker, Del Cano, and Ryan Allen, where he did make the mistake of flexing at Chris Weiss, and then Chris Weiss destroyed him and everyone else in the match. Why are you laughing about that?
I'm just thinking back. It was hilarious.
You're thinking back about Vicey destroying him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But look, this was a good match. I must say, Julian Ward is my best friend. And he's definitely out to make him a statement since returning from Calgary. Of course, if you didn't get that reference, you should go back and listen to our interview that we did with Julian Ward, Liam Mendel, and Jay Taylor.
The Calgary Kids.
Yes, available now on Libsyn, on Wrestle Radio Australia.
And iTunes.
And iTunes.
And iHeartRadio.
And Stitcher.
And where any good podcasts are downloaded.
Yeah.
If we're not on there, it ain't worth downloading.
No, absolutely not. Well, they can't if we're not on there.
It ain't worth even getting the apps.
That's even better, yeah.
Screw that Podcast One stuff.
Yeah.
Who needs Podcast One?
I know, as if we need to be getting paid to do this stuff.
Yeah,
and
1 million downloads, not so crap.
Yeah, actually, getting paid to do this would be kind of cool.
It would be, but back to the match.
Back to the match, yep. So, really good, solid match. Carol Cousins had an instant dislike from the crowd, which I'll touch on a bit later, because I don't think it's all just because of the heel work, but we'll get to that later. Really good, solid match. Good bit of back and forth there. Julian Ward definitely showing what he has learnt in Calgary. You know, his character development since he came back has been really good. Really good. Finished him off with his new finisher, the Death Valley Bomb, which is what it used to be called when Shane Haste used to do that finish.
So he's stealing Haste's move now.
Everyone steals Shane Haste's move set.
If you're going to pick someone to steal from, may as well be him.
Yeah, but it's sort of like a Death Valley driver into like a
slam.
Slam, yeah. But it looks pretty cool, though.
Nicely done.
Yes, but yeah, Julian Ward got the win in that match.
Awesome. I actually don't have a lot to say about that match because it's quite a simple, good opener. I reckon.
Yeah.
You got your comments for the thing to go afterwards.
Yeah, we'll talk a bit about that later on in the show.
We will.
Mm. Coming up next, we had a big 8-man tag match featuring Taylor King, Jay Taylor, David Nero, and Harry Avalon, alongside with his manager, William Darcy. They went on to defeat the team of SMDK, Dan Moore and Jared Slate, Kyle Styria would be a good name. And
you could fight Crystal V.
Yeah, and Blair Brady. Dude, tell us your thoughts about this match.
Well, on the surface, I was thinking that this match was just there primarily to advance, you know, the Kyle Styria and the Taylor King feud.
Mm.
You know, where Taylor King's got that new, quote-unquote, child star persona.
And which I do like.
You like? Yeah, I can see where he's going with it, but he's been getting on a lot of people's nerves lately, especially old Hollywood's.
Yep.
But like I've heard somewhere around the traps, you know, Chinese man, wise man, Confucius, whatever he was, said, if you're comfortable in your own skin, why not get under somebody else's?
Okay.
And Taylor King is super-duper comfy right now.
Yeah.
And super-duper annoying.
And he's super-duper good at getting under people's skin.
Exactly. But the other six participants in this match actually took it upon themselves to, you know, showcase what they can do as well. So it wasn't all about, you know, the child star and Doc Hollywood there. Well, I reckon it was good to see SMDK back after... How long were they out, Beach? Maybe 2-3 months?
February, beginning of February, March, April. I'll say about 3 months.
3 months, yeah.
Excuse me.
They were gone for a while, but they were on their games, and the fans did not forget about them at all. They were super over.
Still. Yeah.
And Blair Brady, I reckon she looks better every time we see her, especially this year. I know you don't rate it as much as I do.
You are a fan of Blair Brady. I'll give you that.
She's winning me over. And then yep. This match, she played a good blend of ass kicker and damsel in distress when, you know, Jay Taylor was, you know, flashing his junk and
well, he wasn't flashing his junk.
Okay, he was exactly. He was motioning. He was motioning to her in a bit of a sleazeball type of way.
As only JT can.
He can. And speaking of the Prince of Perth, or the Earl of Edmonton as we crowned him.
Yes.
The other week. He looked exceptional in this match. Don't you think?
Well, how do you think? How do you want me to think about him exactly here?
Well, you know, since his return from Calgary, where he trained with the SWA, he has I don't know. It's like a ring presence, not a confidence, more of an assuredness of what he's doing and how he moves about the ring, and you know, like the boy said, how they learnt to work.
Yeah, they didn't. They weren't blading or throwing chairs in this one, at least.
It's a pity. That could have been kind of fun.
Don't even start me on some of the things JT was doing in this match.
You love watching JT, admit it.
Yeah, he I'm not sure if it was an accident or what, but yeah, he dick punched me in the middle of the match.
He dick punched you?
Yeah.
Awesome.
When he was crawling over to the railing, I think he went to grab the railing, sort of missed, and accidentally on purpose punched me in the dick.
Accidentally on purpose punched you straight in the groin.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, you know, just got it there. It was a work punch, I think. But I don't know. Maybe he just stopped right at the last moment. I'm not too sure. He got me a good one, though. So he's one up.
He's one up. So you got to get him back now.
Oh, yeah.
He won't know when.
He won't know when. Or where.
Or where. Or which hand. Maybe double-handed.
Watch this hand. Watch this hand. Watch the left. Watch the left. Watch the left. Here comes the right. Bang.
Bit of thunder. Bit of lightning.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, sorry. We were babbling there, folks. We also had David Nero out there for, I guess, Team Taylor.
Yeah.
And we've said it before on the previous recap/reviews.
Mm-hmm.
David Nero is a studly wrestler. Not in the way... I don't want to say, okay, let me rephrase that. He's not a stud muffin as such, but...
Honestly, I'm looking at your notes here, and you've just got David Nero is a straight-up stud. That is exactly what you've written on the notes here.
And you can't teach that. No, man, he's got the look, he's got the ability, he's got a big future in EPW, but I reckon they could do something with him and his partner Jagger Stevens to put them together with, what's his name, Harry Avalon.
Harry, yep.
And Big Willie D to form kind of like an EPW version of Team Bay from Schwa,
yeah.
But with Big Willie as their mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Because everybody needs a Big Willie mouthpiece.
Exactly. Big Willie was going around with the juice during the match as well.
Yep, he's got the juice, he's got the goods, man.
He got some of his willy juice on me as well.
His what?
His willy juice.
Let me refresh. You've been punched in the dick.
Yep.
And got willy juice on you.
Yeah.
Where the hell were you that night?
I was about 2 metres down from you.
I must have been in the good part of town.
That was you, wasn't it? Were you the one with the ball gag in your mouth and the black zip-up vinyl mask?
The one free of willy juice.
That wasn't you?
Free willy juice.
Fuck, where was I?
You were in the wrong part of town, I tell you.
I'm not even sure if I was at the right show, to be honest now.
You might have been at Sexpo earlier or something.
Possibly, who knows.
Well, the match itself was full on, man, with everybody playing their part very nicely. And it was a real surprise to see a guy the size of Kyle Sterrier pull off some really agile type moves.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, I guess you'd call it almost like a lion salt over the top of two blokes from the middle.
He does a nice lion salt, yep.
Yep, this one he landed on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also that 450 to the outside,
yep.
On top of everybody when the action spilled onto the floor.
Off the turnbuckle, we all say, not a springboard one.
Oh, God, yeah. No. If he pulls that off, then fucking Jesus.
You'll buy him dinner?
I'll buy him and Shippy dinner, just if one of them hits one of their moves. Oh, God. Well, the finish of this one came after a huge schmoz. Everybody hit their big moves on everybody else.
Yep.
I guess that's the way it's done. And in the confusion, Taylor King pinned Hollywood to take this one home.
1, 2, 3.
Could have counted to 5. Dude was out.
He was totally out. I really enjoyed this match. There was a lot of good action in there. We also did see in there a visiting referee who was over for a couple of matches. Christian Chaos.
Christian Chaos. Yeah. He was also a guest with Josh Armour. Just last week.
I think it was, yeah.
On WRA, which is now crowned Where the Action Is.
Mm, yes, I think he was in this match and...
The main event,
I was thinking, yeah. I remembered he was in one of the ones near the end of the show. But yeah, the main event he worked.
Very intense individual.
Oh, yeah.
He slaps the mat hard, he goes right in there.
He was breaking a sweat by the end of the match as well.
I think he broke his wrist.
But yeah, look. Really good match. I did enjoy this one. I'm keen to see where they're going with Taylor King and Kyle Sterrier. And I think I'm liking the way Taylor's going with his gimmick. I do like the new music is good as well. Hannah Montana, Best of Both Worlds. I don't know why, because I had girls.
Why you like it or why he's doing it?
Both. I had the girls in the car singing all the way home. Like, shut up. Stop!
Let me sing, it's my turn.
I know, I wanted to get some harmonies in there. Best of both worlds.
Take a look at me now.
Okay, no more of that. But look, third match we had coming up on the card here, we had Damian Slater with the lovely Amber. Going up against Ryan Allen. Now,
with nobody.
Huh?
With nobody.
With nobody, unfortunately.
Poor Pincus.
Because he's a ginger and he has no friends. No, just joking. Just joking, yes.
Are we?
Poor little Pincus. look, Ryan Allen got this opportunity after Damian Slater's title shot with Logan Gray. It got cancelled about a week out of the show because Logan Gray got attacked and has a big, ugly, gaping wound on his head.
Yeah, it's almost like he took a header into a mosh pit or something.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. But
yeah, I saw the photo of just after that they found him, basically, and it looked like there was a massive hole in his head. You could actually see what this kid was thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Like those words.
Literally, you could see his skull.
His brain matter and stuff.
It is up on the EPW Twitter page. If you haven't seen it and, you know, aren't eating or anything right now, go and check it out.
Yeah, or if you're a sick fuck, fucking...
Yeah, also that too. But look, I'm a big fan of both of these guys, and they did not disappoint with this match at all. Great back and forth action in there. I honestly thought Ryan Allen was going to get the upset victory. He got a couple of really close near falls in here, including he actually hit the Phoenix Splash on Damien Slater and got like a 2 3/7/8.
It was close, man. He actually fought really hard in this one, Ryan Allen.
Really, really hard. And I think it was a fantastic opportunity for him to have this match with a world-class worker like Damien Slater.
Yeah. I think even in defeat, he kind of won.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that's how good a showing he had.
Yeah, because that is what happened. Ryan Allen went for the big spin kick that he does, missed Slatality, 1-2-3.
You got to say it properly.
Slatality.
Perfect.
That sounded really cool in the headphones. I'm hoping it sounds out really good on the recording as well.
Well, it should do. Those headphones are pretty accurate how things
they
sound.
They are, yeah. But that's thing. Yes, I mean, I spoke to Ryan after the show, and you know, I asked him, you know, how he felt about his match, and just huge grin came up on his face. That's all that needed to be said.
That's because he feels nothing.
Because he's a ginger.
Ginger.
The ginger ninja, Ryan Allen.
Hi-ya! That's what he should have done with his spin kick. He would have hit it.
If he'd yell at hi-ya.
Yeah, it adds at least like 10 G's to a kick or a punch if you say hi-ya.
Oh, okay then.
Like 1,000 pounds of force. You become Ivan Drago at this point.
Do you?
You do.
He was blonde though.
Doesn't matter.
And very little hair. There were people calling out Sean White to him during the match. I actually had to Google afterwards who Sean White is.
He's a snowboarder.
I know he's a snowboarder now.
And he was a snowboarder before.
No, I didn't know who Sean White was.
I'm getting you.
I'm
just fucking with you.
But he also, apparently he used to have long, curly ginger hair.
Yes, he did.
Which he doesn't anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Because he saw Ryan Allen has it and he goes, well, that's his gimmick now.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm cutting my hair.
Yeah. So yeah, really good match. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Damien Slater did a great job here.
Took him to school, technically.
Yes. And then after the match... the lovely Amber got in the ring again.
She's a fox.
Swing!
Swing!
Tentpole! She's a babe.
She's magically babelicious.
She tested very high on the stroke ability scale.
But she got in the ring and they called out their latest, latest acquisition that they are wanting to...
Acquire? Yeah,
that's the word, yeah. Marcus Pitt, who pretty much came out and just turned him down. I want nothing to do with you. Because, I mean, he has been in a bit of a slump recently.
Oh, yeah, he's slumping. He's had a bit of bad luck this year.
Yeah.
Things haven't gone the Pitmaster's way.
No, they haven't. But he turned him down and said, I don't need your help. Get out of here. We know why you're with Damien Slater, because everyone in the crowd chants out that he is a woman's best friend.
Yep. And we're not talking about diamonds.
No.
We're talking about the other D word.
Dildos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say it starts with D and rhymes with Fildos.
Bilbo?
No, then it'd be Dilbo.
Slater's a Dilbo. Doesn't quite work.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. What a hobbit.
Yes. But anyway, yeah, so... We will see Marcus Pitt in action later. Later tonight, you'll hear about him later tonight, and probably about maybe 20 minutes time when we get to his match.
Special guest.
All right, dude. What match did we have up after this?
Okay, we had Macho Cuatro. Did I get that right?
Yeah, Cuatro. Sweet. Yeah,
this is all I can do. Actually, we had The Solution, Liam Mendel and Jordan Bishop with their main squeeze, Amity Row, and they defeated, which was a big surprise to me, the Headhunters, Dan Steele, and Tyler Jacobs, who came out with the craziest man in Perth, the Twitchmeister.
He's back. He's got his arm in a sling, but he's back.
Yep, Mendel pinned Jacobs after a massive powerbomb.
Yeah.
But again, we'll get to that in a moment.
Okay, get to it.
I'm getting it. I'm going. I'm off to the races.
All right, then.
You know, after the last show, the last thing we saw at Gold Rush was Liam Mandel and Jordan Bishop seemingly get excommunicated from the Solution.
I said,
I know, but your face went, oh.
Get down.
You were, that's a very strong agreement with what my statement was.
Fuck it was. Sorry.
Are you
going.
Eating corn or being corn?
Neither.
Nachos. Sorry. Yeah, so they got beaten down at the hands of Richter and David Storm at the end of the last show. So we thought they may have been on the outs with the Solution. So I was surprised to see them.
That's what I thought as well.
Coming out there with Amity Row. But there's a slightly different dynamic this time because Amity Row seemed to be, in a domineering position where she's kind of playing. Playing Bishop and Mendel as off as her, you know, marionettes, commanding them to do her bidding, basically.
She was dominating them. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I can't actually say it's a bad thing to see.
No, neither can I.
Because, you know, if anyone's seen Amity Row, you'd let her dominate you anyway.
Probably, yeah.
she's a good-looking Black Widow, that one.
Mm.
Like it. She's going to hit me now next time.
Probably, yeah.
Damn it.
And I'll be pointing out he's over there.
Like I did with Jonah Rock with you.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Still wasn't going to give him any of my birthday cake.
Oh, birthday's all right.
Yeah.
You know what I like about the Headhunters, their opponents for this match?
What was that?
They don't give a damn. They are basically, you know, they have a style that's kind of straight up Smash Mouth.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me.
And it's Smash Mouth style that always seems to resonate with the fans because it appeals to our basic need to see simple, violent acts done on other human beings.
Violence inherited in the system. Yay!
And these guys do it better than anybody, especially that Dan Steele. He's intense. He spine busts awesome. I say, if you want to spine bust somebody, go ahead.
I mean, we've spoken multiple times before about how powerful Dan Steele is and how impressive his moveset is on.
Yeah, they keep it simple. They're not doing fancy flips or, you know, technical holds. They're not arm bars. They don't have 1,005 arm bars in their repertoire.
Mm.
He's going to punch you. He's going to close on you. He's going to spine bust you. And then maybe drop you on your head somewhere else.
Yeah.
I love it. I really do. But Mandel and Bishop held their own in this match, BG.
Yeah, they did.
Which was, again, I don't want to sound like I'm knocking their talents, but against the Headhunters and that level of competition is very, very surprising to me.
Yeah.
They matched them, you know, punch for punch, hold for hold, and it was a good back and forth match until Chris Weiss sauntered through the crowd.
Yeah, I know.
Through the ring again with his gym bag, like he did at the last show to those poor four youngers before he, you know, killed them, and he was headed to the back.
His new gimmick, Zero Fucks Given, Chris Weiss.
That's a good nickname.
Yeah.
Zero Fucks Smashing Machine.
Zero Fucks Given Chris Weiss. Not Smashing Machine, just Zero Fucks Given Chris Weiss.
Or just Zero Fucks Weissy.
Yeah.
That's good. But anyway, this caused a momentary distraction, which enabled... I just forgot his name now. No, I haven't. Jordan Bishop. To hit
the smaller one.
The smaller fella. the pale guy with the short hair. To hit the Holy Grail Spit of Doom, TM, into Tyler Jacobs' face. And which enabled, like I said before, Liam Mandel, powerbomb, 1, 2, 3. And that shit is disgusting, Beach.
I do like how you're acting that out here while you're describing it as well.
Because it's gross.
What, the mist in the face?
The spit of doom. We don't know what the hell's in that cup.
Well, it's not a loogie or anything.
It's green.
I know that it's green.
Could be Indian tap water.
Well, you do know that green food colouring stains.
Well, if it's... You just broke the myth of the cup, dude.
What?
We don't want to know it's food colouring. We want to know it's like holy mint jelly. Is, I don't know.
Holy mint jelly. You
know, holy stuff that actually hurts somebody.
With food colouring. I don't know.
Damn it. That's it. Kayfabe is dead. Kayfabe is gone. Dream's over.
Sorry.
I quit. I'm going home.
I ruined the wrestle magic for you.
You did. It's like my 9-year-old self realising it's fake and saying to myself, it's not fake.
No. And Gangrel did not have strawberry juice. He had real blood in his
Those
cup.
Blood baths were real, damn it.
Were they?
They killed like 17 goats and put buckets of blood up in the ceiling.
You know, knowing Vince, he probably would do that. No, I want to be real blood, damn it.
Get me that goat's blood. You're fired. But anyway, really big win for the solution.
It really was.
In this one. So who knows where they're going with these two kids.
I'm thinking we'll keep seeing a bit of dissension amongst the solution there.
Yeah, there's more on that later on too. Yes. It's widespread.
That's what I was alluding to.
You're alluding.
Alluding.
Good word, that, alluding.
Allude, yes.
All right, let's allude to the next match, shall we?
The next match, which was the EPW Coastal Championship match with Gavin McGavin. So did you just...
I derped.
Derp or
yeah,
I
dab burped.
You dabbed and burped? That's what I thought you did.
I derped.
We see Gavin McGavin defending for the second time this year against the Big Rig Scotty Ryan in a no DQ match. Now, this match stemmed from Gavin McGavin's DQ victories over Alex Kingston at Hot Summer Night and Scotty Ryan at Gold Rush as well. So, after the match at Gold Rush, we basically heard that EPW management had decided that they would face again at Collision Course in a no disqualification match. Now, since then, Gavin McGavin has been getting signatures on his petition to get the match changed back to a, in quotation marks, real wrestling match. And he did get 399 signatures, so that is something.
He does have a big family, Gavin McGavin.
He does. Now, whether those signatures are actually valid or not is another thing, but we won't argue with Mr. McGavin on this one.
Well, I saw one of the signatures on that paper.
Yes.
And one of the signatories, is that the word, signatories?
Yes, signatories.
My English is up the shit today. I saw the name was Willie Make It.
Willie Make It.
Willie Make It.
The other one I saw was P. Ness.
Well, Gavin's great grandfather's called P. Ness.
Yeah. Okay.
P. Ness McGavin.
P. Ness McGavin. Okay, fair enough then.
Friends called him Dick.
Dick McGavin.
Sounds like Shooter McGavin.
But I'll tell you what, though. McGavin showed in this match why he is a great champion. This was an absolutely phenomenal match. Match of the night for me, hands down.
Yeah, I got to agree. Tremendous story being told in this one.
It was. And that's it. Not only was McGavin showing that, you know, he is deserving to actually hold this belt, Scotty Ryan showed that he has arrived as a genuine player on the EPW roster.
Yeah, the psychology from both dudes was off the charts.
Yep.
You know, like you said, Scotty Ryan is come to play.
I came to play!
He's not doing the comedy anymore.
No.
At least not in this match, which was good because he shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, but that's the thing. We saw both of them hitting some great German suplexes in there, backstabbers. We saw moves coming off the top. But we saw, you know, just the right amount of hardcore in there as well to take advantage of this no DQ stipulation. You know, we saw chairs. We saw the title belt get involved. We saw a walking stick get involved as well.
That actually busted Scotty Ryan's head.
It did. And I felt really bad as well because it belonged to cameraman Tez's dad as well, who somehow happened to have a spare in the car at the intermission as well.
He's old. He's always going to need two cans.
But apparently what happened is actually during the intermission, a small child that from the other side of the arena that had found part of the walking stick brought it back to him.
Oh, that's nice.
How amazing is that?
He says, get away from me, kid. I can't put that goddamn thing together.
But look, absolutely phenomenal. And that thing, Gavin McGavin, former EPW Hardcore Champion, two-time.
Yep.
But I'll tell you one thing, though. I mean, it's no DQ anyway, but Gavin McGavin actually got the clean victory here.
After punching Scotty Ryan in the nuts twice.
Still got a clean victory. He hit
There's no DQ. So
he hit the reverse DDT and got the 1-2-3.
After playing Yambag Yahtzee, but which is all legal.
It's all completely legal. So really, he didn't cheat.
And he won with a real wrestling move.
He did. But that's it. Hats off to both of these gentlemen. Particularly, I must say, Scotty Ryan. Fantastic performance. And as much as I hate to say it, Gavin McGavin. Performer of the night.
Yeah, he keeps getting... I don't want to say better as a wrestler because he's always been really good.
Oh, yeah. He's a real wrestler.
He's a real wrestler, but just the way he's been carrying himself and putting his heart and soul into actually getting his matches over and things of that nature really resonates with me. Mm. It's the best thing about pro wrestling.
It really is. Absolutely fantastic. What did we have after that?
We had...
Intermission.
Yes, we did have intermission.
We had a drink break.
Let's have one now.
We shall.
All right, Beej, coming back from intermission, my friend.
Yeah.
We had the EPW Tag Team Championship match between the Solution Warship and AZ Vergara taking on the champions Generation Zero, Michael Morleone and Hayden Zenith.
The Gordon!
The Don!
His Don is good.
He's good. In an elimination tornado match where basically anything goes wherever you want it to go.
Yeah.
You know, Beej, in this match, both teams really played up to their strengths as they have a great chemistry together as opponents, which makes for a tremendous, tremendous story to be told in a match of this nature, man. Action was non-stop right off from the bell. Fucking ding, ding. They're all at it. Action spilled to the floor.
Fucking ding, ding.
Fucking ding, ding. I was going to keep this PG, but, you know. Yeah, I'm about as PG as...
We ruined that already.
Yeah, Kevin Bloody Wilson in Canada.
Yeah, keep going.
Yes. The action spilled to the outside, around by the merch desk. Big brawl. I know you want to say the thing. Go on.
Oh. Brawl!
You were dying for that,
weren't
you?
I was, yeah.
Oh, go. Oh, God. Warship and AZ use their size advantage throughout this one, Beej, enabling them to score a quick pin on Hayden Zenith.
I was very surprised to see Hayden come out so quickly. Well, go out so quickly. Yeah.
He came out, then he went.
He came out, then he went back in again, yeah.
Yeah, which left the Don at a bit of a disadvantage. You know, two on one.
Mm.
You take one away from two, still leaves one.
Yeah.
That's a simple maths for you, Beej.
It is, yes.
You don't have to be a mathematician.
Okay, fair enough. We're a professor.
Professor Maths Man. but you know, the Don's a tough son of a bitch, man.
He sure is.
And he fought his way back into this one and eventually scored the pin by catching AZ napping for the 1, 2, 3.
Three. How was AZ napping? Was he just having a snooze?
I think he just took his eye off the ball for a second.
Did he get a choke bomb? I think it was, wasn't it?
Mate, I mean, that choke bomb, devastating.
Brutal. Yeah.
Devastation Incorporated. No, but even though Beej, AZ was eliminated, he's a big sneaky bastard heel.
Oh, yeah.
And he hung around like a bad smell.
Is that what that was?
That's what that was. You just thought someone farted.
I did, yeah.
But eventually made his way back into the action, enabling Warship to get an advantage over on Michael Morleone.
And that's the thing the ref was trying to get AZ out, but they're like, what are you going to do? He's eliminated. And there's no rules. He can do what he wants.
Yeah, the ref did not have any luck in this one at all. Couldn't keep the flies off of shit, really. You know, so Warship and him beat the Don down until Hayden Zenith made the big return to save his tag team partner.
He came flying down, didn't he?
He hit the ring like a DeLorean, man, powered by 121 gigawatts going 88 miles per hour.
Great Scott!
And he cleaned house, man. Oh, man. From my vantage point, he was like a guy who's 10 feet tall.
Yeah. He was zipping around all over the place there.
He was, man. He fights big. And he hit a spear on the Warship that looked like a fucking Scud missile.
Oh, that spear was so cool. The velocity that he had on that when he took Shippy down was unbelievable.
Yeah, that thing was nuts, man. It was really nuts.
Yeah, huge pop.
Massive pop, actually, for that one. All right, so big schmoz ensued after this one with Hayden and AZ finding their way into the drinking section to continue this little schmoz fest.
They took out couple of poor civilians as well.
You know what you get into when you're standing into the drinking section?
Yeah, I know.
Insurance doesn't cover it.
No, it doesn't.
You might get a free beer if you get knocked down, but...
We need to try and get those free beers. We need to get in the way more often then.
Or just fall down in general.
Yeah.
Oh, my neck. My back. Yeah. My back and my neck.
My small intestine.
Oh, my pancreas. Busted wide open.
Oh, my epidermis.
Oh, my ass is cracked. Take a look at me now.
Don't go looking at my ass.
Oh, my goodness.
Perv. But look, we did see Hayden started climbing up the scaffolding that they use for the lighting rig. But reasons best known to Hayden, really.
Yeah, and AZ followed him up there for some obscure reason. Wouldn't you just kind of, like, the dude's eliminated.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you, like, just walk away?
Yeah, that would make sense.
And get back in the ring and help your partner out.
But no!
AZ's got more guts than brain, so he followed Hayden up there. Caught a couple of shots in the mouth and ended up taking a bump to the floor.
Which took out even more civilians.
See, from my vantage point, I couldn't see what they were landing on, but Hayden decided...
Civilians.
To civilians.
Yeah.
Damn civilians.
I know.
Well, Hayden ended up going a step further, what, maybe four or five steps further.
Yeah.
And hitting a massive swanton, which you can see on our Facebook page.
You sure can.
And everywhere where good videos are
exclusive footage of that camera angle.
Yes, because no one else had the camera angle that I did at the time.
No one else did. Hayden shared it out as well.
No, he had a massive swanton. Sounds like a Chinese wrestling move, doesn't it? I'll have a 10-pack of swantons, please.
Swanton soup?
Soup of swanton.
Mm.
Nice.
Yeah. Wanton soup. Yeah.
Making me hungry now.
Swanton soup. Yeah, and I could go some Chinese now as well.
Really, I was going to say something in Chinese, but I only know domo arigato, and that's Japanese.
Yeah. Mr. Roboto.
Sticks. I like sticks.
huge pop for that one. Again, even more civilians taken out when he jumped down because it just...
Nowhere to go.
No. They had AZ on top of them.
Yeah. And once the holy shit chance actually subsided, the action returned to the ring.
Fecal chance. If we want to try and keep this PG...
Holy fecal.
No, there's the fecal chance.
Your ring announcer, the feek.
This is Howard Finkel.
I love Mr. Fink. Anyway, so once the action returned to the ring, man, Don and Warship were duking it out when the Messiah, Davis Storm, kind of came out to the ring. We didn't know what he was going to be doing. He made his way to the ring, got in the ring. Got in the ring for some obscure reason.
Yeah.
It wasn't actually all that obscure, was it? He knew exactly what he was doing.
Of course he did, yeah.
He was going to help out his buddy, the Warship.
Yeah.
The Don caught a massive spear from said Warship after David Storm held him back.
Yeah.
But then something really strange happened.
I was confused what happened here.
Yeah, Shippy was holding the Don, and David Storm picked up the ring steps, which must weigh in the excess of 450 pounds.
Oh, at least.
At least. If 750 if it's a kilo.
Yeah, I mean, if they're made of Jarrah, then they're going to be really heavy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Heavier than steel. So maybe 1,200 pounds.
Possibly, yeah.
A ton at least.
metric ton?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So at the last minute, before he was going to hit the Don, he had a change of heart.
Yeah.
Dropped and just left. Warship was looking quite...
Baffled everyone.
Yeah, Warship looked really confused and slightly pissed off.
Because
he had no idea what was going on either. So there's something brewing in the Solution camp.
There's dissension in the Solution.
Yeah, I really don't know what's happening with him, but
yeah,
that momentary lapse in attention from Warship enabled the Don to hit his choke bomb for the victory and retaining the tag team championships.
1, 2, 3.
Generation Zero.
Yeah, really good match. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Excitement guaranteed.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, that, like I said, that dive that Hayden took off the scaffolding, he is just one crazy motherfucker. There's no way of putting it.
He did. I can't say too much more good stuff about Hayden because it looks like I'm in love with him.
Well, Hayden's a great guy.
He's a great babyface.
Yeah.
And, man, yeah, his moves are just killer.
Yeah.
He's either going to kill someone or kill himself. Hopefully not. But
one or the other.
One or the other. Crazy.
So, what happened after this match, dude?
Well, this match was basically... the promo segment that everybody had been waiting for.
Yes, the murder of Giles O'Brien.
Affectionately is what the fans called it. Is your murder?
Affectionately, no.
We love to
see just want to see Giles O'Brien get murdered. In ring. This all stems from back at Gold Rush when the animosity between these two, it's probably been building up for a while now. David Storm did have a fierce battle with Logan Gray at Gold Rush. And pretty much when the heat of the battle came around, Giles O'Brien, who was reffing the match at the time, got a bit physical with Davis Storm.
Yeah, he's not afraid to back down while he's reffing a match, Giles. And if you see something go wrong,
no,
he's going to get in your face.
No, that's the thing. Now, Stormy ultimately did lose the match, and he blamed Giles for doing so. Now, anyone who knows anything about David Storm, they know that he holds grudges.
Yeah, he's not one to forgive or forget, is he, Beach?
No, he don't. So he started a social media campaign that pretty much said that either EPW grants him another title match against Logan Gray, or, well, he'll take out his frustrations on Giles.
Yeah.
And the fact that he created a Twitter poll asking, you know, should I get my title match or should I kick Giles' smug face in?
Yeah.
95% of people wanted to see Giles get his face kicked in.
Yeah, I guess it sucked to be Giles at that point, didn't it?
And, I mean, did you vote in this one, dude?
Yes, I did.
Yes. Were you, like, the, like, I think maybe one person who voted for Stormy to get his title shot?
No, I was not.
No, neither was I. I would like, I think that one person possibly voted for that was possibly Davis Storm himself, I think.
It may have been.
Yeah.
It's his poll. We'll invite
him. Or actually, it was probably Giles, actually.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. Giles was probably the one who wanted that. So, yeah, you know. Sucks to be Giles, pretty much.
Yeah, but fast forward to Collision Course. And EPW... do it that way. And EPW were forced to try and remediate the situation before it got too out of hand.
Or, you know, instead of fast forwarding, they could just go to EPW on Vimeo, go to the vault, and wait for Gold...
Wait for Gold Rush again.
Gold Rush will finish. Oh. Well, once you've seen that bit on Gold Rush, which is at the end anyway,
yes.
Then wait for Collision Course, which will probably be out...
within the week.
Hopefully. Depends when you're listening to this. It might already be out.
What you should do is wait for a week to listen to us, and then listen to us as you're watching Collision Course.
Yeah, or listen to us, then watch Collision Course. If you've already watched Collision Course already, then there's nothing we can do about that, so...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I had a mind fart there. Like the Bobby the Brain fart.
Yes, but continue.
Thank you. All right, so first, All-Star Brad West was the, the master of ceremonies for this one.
Yes, he was.
And he called out senior official Giles O'Brien.
Mm.
And then old David Storm sauntered. Good word, that sauntered.
Sauntered.
Used it once already in this review.
Did you?
Yeah, Chris Fire sauntered.
Oh.
Anyway, so David Storm was introduced.
Sauteed down to the ring.
She was sauteed down to the ring. Tasty morsel,
some
he was.
Garlic. Mm.
But Beef Man, you were there.
I was there.
I was there.
Yep.
Everybody else was there.
Yep.
Did the crowd not become unglued when these two, I'd say one ring warrior and one sweaty Irishman.
Yes.
Locked eyes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's intense.
You could see Giles just there looking at David Storm and just thinking,
I shouldn't be here.
Like, yeah, well, no, not really, because he didn't back down from Stormy.
No.
He wasn't scared.
That's where I think you're wrong.
So, look, yeah, Giles was the first to speak, and yeah, he admitted that he wasn't a wrestler, but he was a man. And even though he's going to get his ass kicked, he would defend himself and fight back if it came to it.
Yeah, it took a lot of guts to actually be out there, because even though he didn't look it, you got to know that Giles was a little bit nervous being out there, I'd say. I mean, you or I would be crapping our dacoons.
Well, he probably would have been a bit nervous because he did drop a swear on the live mic as well.
He did, but you or I would be pissing our pantaloons at this point. But Giles held it together, so big props to him.
Mm.
Then Stormy took the mic.
Yeah.
David Storm took the mic and reminded everybody of said poll.
Yes.
Kind of got Giles looking worried all over again. Probably wondering what the hell he's doing out there. Everybody wanted to see him get his ass kicked.
And David Storm was happy to announce that at Evolution, we would see David Storm going one-on-one with EPW champion Logan Gray.
Yep.
He trolled us all.
He did, but what he didn't know that he was the last one to be trolled.
Oh, yes.
Logan Gray came out from the back.
Staples and all.
Staples and all. That took probably a great effort as well,
because
he looked pretty under the weather.
He did.
And together with Brad West, they announced that it's going to be a tables, ladders, and chairs match for the main event of Evolution on June, I want to say the 10th
or 6th. Should I quickly get the calendar out?
Yes,
and have
quickly
a quick look?
Do that, because I don't want to sound like a buffoon.
Talk amongst yourself, ladies and gentlemen. But 10th, yes.
10th, I got it right.
Saturday, June 10th.
Holy
and that's in. David Storm has never actually ever been in a ladder match.
No, I think he detests those type of matches.
He does. So
he's probably more of a real wrestler than McGavin is.
But then again, see, Logan Gray has never been in a ladder match either.
But Logan Gray's batshit crazy.
And he's young as well.
Yeah. Think of Jeff Hardy maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But with more skill. That's Logan Gray.
Yep. And David Storm's just an old man, pretty much.
Yeah. But, yeah. You know, but before this was all said and done, David Storm did actually manage to sucker punch Giles O'Brien from behind.
He did. He
dropped him like a sack of spuds.
I was going to say, yeah, he potatoed him.
He potatoed the potato. Jesus. But, you know...
I was going to say potato punch, but no, the word's rabbit punch. That's what I'm looking for.
He potatoed the potato.
Yeah.
But, you know, even though Giles did take a pretty hefty shot to the dome, he was lucky in this one to make it out in one whole piece.
He was indeed.
Could have been much, much worse. And let's hope now that this is the last Giles will have to put up with Storm and his intimidating factors.
I think it will be.
Yeah, good, because he dodged a bullet there.
Yeah.
Thank God for that.
Very lucky. So, coming up next after this, we had the return of Jamie Jura.
Master of the Juraverse.
Yes, going up against Elliot Forbes. Now, this is Jamie's first match back in EPW since 2014. So, that's what, 3 years off?
Yeah, 3 years. A lot of time to collect some rust.
I think, mid-2014 was when his last match was in EPW. Now, Forbes plays the heel very well in this, as he always does. Something missing, though. It needs a tweak.
Yeah. I can see where you're coming from.
Mm.
Maybe it's a tweak in, I guess, in perspective.
Yeah.
Where I think you were saying earlier to me that it wasn't a way that he should be. At the moment, he kind of looks down on people.
Yeah, he shouldn't be looking down on the people. It should be the fact that they should be. No, he shouldn't be thinking that the people are beneath him. He should be acting as if he is above them.
Yeah.
Basically, just go $1 million man on it.
Yeah, exactly. Go go the full Monty there, because. Yeah, there wasn't a better heel in you know, the glory days of the rock and wrestling era than Ted DiBiase.
Exactly. Now, this match was set up back at Hot Summer Night when Jamie Jura did make his return, and Elliot Forbes came out and interrupted him, and Jamie Jura didn't even know who he was.
Yep.
Which we actually helped Jamie out last week, was it? Or the week before, where he asked out on Twitter, who is my opponent? I actually have no idea.
Yeah, and we kind of point him in the direction of Donald Trump's legitimate son.
Mm.
And it seemed to work for him.
Baron Trump?
Baron Forbes.
Now, the thing is, this match was announced at Hot Summer Night. Yes, this is going to happen at Collision Course. But then at Gold Rush, there was absolutely no mention of it. And I feel that it kind of got lost in the fold, because I won't lie, when Forbes, who has new music, which is awesome, when it hit, I was like, what's going on? Has Chris Weiss got new music possibly here?
Is he coming back out again?
Well, that's the thing. I had absolutely... And then when I saw Forbes, I was like, oh, that's right. This match is on.
Like, so you did get lost in the shuffle kind of, because you've got, you know, you've got matches like Marcus Pitt versus Chris Weiss.
Yeah.
You got the no DQ Coastal Championship match and the big tornado tag.
But that's the thing. Like, the match was announced, a couple of weeks ago. I had the picture up for it.
Yep. Jamie Lee Curtis versus Elliot Forbes.
Yeah. But then nothing else.
Yeah. But I think that we can get into this later on, because I do want to bring up the thing. But it should also be down to the individual wrestlers as well to promote their shit.
Which Jamie Jura has been doing.
Yes, but we'll get into that again.
Yeah.
After we've done this review.
Yeah.
So how was the match for you, my man?
Look, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. Jamie Jura hasn't really lost a step.
No, he hits hard.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he knows what a work punch is.
Well, that's he's from back in the good old days where men were men in wrestling.
Yes, and if you need someone in the face, you need him in the fucking face.
His Shining Wizard is really good.
Yeah, he's a short, statured little fella.
Yeah.
And
hairy little man, too.
And yeah, he doesn't hold back. He makes all this stuff looks really, really painful.
Yeah. But look, this one was fairly short and sweet. Jamie Durer went over with the 1-2-3 after the Shining Wizard.
Yep, I did like the part where he grabbed Elliot Forbes' tie like they used to do with IRS.
Yeah.
And he just beat the piss out of him. I really did have some sympathy for Forbes after that one.
But crazy good stuff. Hard-hitting match. I enjoyed it.
Yep, I don't think they're going to be finished with one another for some reason.
No, neither do I. There's got to be something else coming out of there, I'm thinking.
Yeah, let's wait and see.
Mm.
Maybe some more Jamie Lee Curtis references.
Wait, Jamie Lee Curtis in, like, Halloween or True Lies Jamie Lee Curtis?
True Lies, man. It's the only Jamie Lee Curtis.
Does that mean we have to see Jamie Jura dressed up like that?
I sure hope not.
Whew! All right, coming up next, we had the final match on the card. The People's Hero, Marcus Pitt, going up against Zero Fucks Given, Chris Weiss.
I like that, Zero Fucks Given. It kind of suits him to a T now, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it?
All right.
Tell us what you thought about this match, dude.
Well, this was a match that, you know, wasn't originally scheduled to be the main event.
No, it wasn't.
But because they are two of EPW's best... This match did promise to be a hell of a match. So it got bumped to... Well, not bumped, it got...
Elevated.
It got elevated to the main event position. And much like the other matches on the card, like the No DQ match and the Tornado Tag, they didn't waste any goddamn time in feeling each other out or anything. They just went straight at it, like two bulls, you know, colliding in a China cabinet. Well, China shop.
A bull in a China shop. You'd ever get two bulls in a China shop.
Well, this was two bulls in a China shop, and they broke a lot of shit.
I'm going to say, if you get one bull in a China shop, it's bad enough. If you let a second one in there, then it's all on you.
It's on you, buddy. You take that bullshit on your own. But after the initial butting of the bulls, Marcus Pitt, I found, was a bit overwhelmed by Chris Weiss's offense, man. Chris Weiss basically beast mode from the get-go, and he was tossing Marcus Pitt around like he was a rag doll and showing some tremendous feats of strength.
Mm.
He was just basically going mental.
He was indeed.
On Marcus Pitt there. And the smashing machine, Mr. Zero Fucks Given, made him look like he'd been hit by a truck.
Yep.
It was brutal to watch, actually, and quite surprising because Marcus Pitt had no answer for it in the beginning moments.
That's what really surprised me. He was completely overwhelmed.
Yeah. Do you think that's a mental thing going on with Marcus Pitt?
It's entirely possible, you know. He hasn't had a win this year.
No, he's had some really, really good opponents, though, and it's not like he's been losing to bums.
That's very
hobo
true.
Fights or anything.
Yeah.
But
shock fights.
Bum fight! No, but he has had...
fighting over a wedge of cheese.
And an orange slice. But he has come up with the short end of the stick in some of his matches this year.
Mm.
But he still is Marcus Pitt Beach.
He is.
And he managed to recover enough to flick his own beast mode switch. And then, to say the dirty stuff, the fucking shit was on.
Oh, totally.
My God. That's kind of what everybody had been waiting for.
Mm.
These two big, hulking, China shop-infesting bulls just went at it for a good solid 20 minutes, man. Oh, my goodness. I love seeing these two go at it. I mean, there came a point where Marcus Pitt was feeling very frustrated because no matter what he did, he couldn't put Vice away, and Vice was having trouble putting him away also.
Yep.
We saw Damian Slater come out again.
We did indeed.
With kind of an olive branch shaped like a steel chair.
Yes, and the lovely Amber as well.
She could have stayed.
She could have, yeah.
Yep, but she didn't.
No.
Boo.
Unfortunately, she left when Damian Slater did. Yeah.
Boo earned.
But yes, he did, they offered... Marcus Pitt, a steel chair, as if to say, here.
Yeah. Let us help you.
Yes.
He did take that chair. But he did get second thoughts.
Mm.
He didn't go through it. I wish he would have waffled him with it.
So do I.
Because at the end of the day, it probably cost him this match.
Well, even if he had waffled him with it, he still would have lost the match for a DQ.
The ref... Wasn't the ref busy or something?
No. Oh, well, I think he was talking to Vicey.
These EPW refs don't see shit.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously. Especially that Peter Sorres fella.
Well, also, it wasn't EPW ref. It was Christian Chaos.
Yes, and, you know,
he has eyes in the back of his head.
He's new.
Yeah.
He's that intense. His neck's probably going on a 360 swivel or something. He's got reversing cameras. I don't know.
Yeah.
That dude sees everything.
So, the end did come here, though, when... Well, we did see Marcus Pitt get a bit of a fire up there. He got some German suplexes in there and the F5 as well, which Voxy actually kicked out of, which I don't think anyone could believe that.
Yeah, he did. I think that was basically down to the psychology that Vice was working on.
Yeah.
Working on the arm and shoulder region of Marcus Pitt. Because of those F5s and the German suplexes, I don't think Marcus Pitt could actually get all of what he wanted to on those big moves of his, which enabled Chris Vice to do the aforementioned kickout.
Very true.
The end came, Beej. The end came not how we would have expected it, though.
No, I did not see this coming at all.
Nope. Going back to the shoulder and the arm region, Chris Vice locked in probably the nastiest rings of Saturn this side of Perry Saturn in his prime.
Yeah.
And it looked very, very ugly. In a
good way.
In a good way, yes.
Yeah.
ugly for Pitt.
Not as in it looked shit.
No, it just looked very, very painful.
Mm.
And Marcus Pitt, I don't know if I've ever seen him submit before, but he verbally tapped out to this one.
Yeah. Which, I didn't actually even see it.
Oh, they were facing the opposite way, but yeah, it was that quick and over that suddenly.
Yeah.
Wow. Just wow.
Mm. So, and that was it. It was all said and done.
That was basically it. But
Chris Vice with the big win over Marcus Pitt.
Yeah, now Chris Vice has got some more ammunition to use against EPW management in his quest for respect, and he's going to continue to try and tell them to, you know, perform fellatio on him, but they keep cutting his mics out. One day he will get it.
To suck on his winky.
Suck on his wiener.
Yes.
Just don't forget to bring a towel.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Tally. No. Did you notice, though, Beej, as Marcus Pitt was leaving the ring, did you notice the look on his face?
He didn't look too happy.
He looked, you know, quite dejected and despondent.
Yeah.
Like the fight had left him.
Yeah.
I hope he's going to be all right because, you know, he's a damn fine wrestler.
And that thing, is he considering the offer from Amber and Damian Salada to join them to move on back up the ranks at EPW, to turn to the dark side?
You know, I'd usually say, if there's any other situation, I'd say tell him to go, you know, go jump in a lake. But he's been having a pretty horrible year so far, and he might want to consider it.
But then on the other side, that's thing, if it was anyone else, I would say, yeah, they probably would. But this Marcus Pitt we're talking about here.
I know, which is why it's so hard for me to think that, but man, he looked like he just hit a dead end.
Mm.
He looked beaten, mentally.
We will have to wait until Evolution to see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be a very, very exciting show.
Mm. So, that's it. That's the end of the show there.
Oh, we made it. Woohoo!
We did. dude, how many out of 5 stars, what would you rate this show?
Rate the show. Well, here's where it gets a bit complicated, because basically we talked about the quality of matches in this thing. Now, the match quality ranged from good to very good.
Yes.
With the three, like, quote-unquote, main event matches were all excellent.
Yep.
But there was a few matches there that I think, to the fans, felt flat.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're going to cover that in a second. But I'd give the show probably, it has to drop it down at least a star. So I'm going to say a 4 out of 5. And that's basically running off of just the quality of wrestling.
Yep. I would have given it that as well, 4.
Yeah, for same reasons or what?
Pretty much the same reasons. That's the thing, yeah. There were some bits that, like, pretty fantastic. Like the main event match, that fell flat for me at the end. It really did.
It was very sudden. I thought Marcus Pitt would put up a bit more of a fight in that submission hold, but we don't know the damage that was done on his arms and shoulders.
Yeah, okay. But that's the thing, like, the finisher, I think it was very sudden, and that's it. Then just the show was over.
You lacked drama.
Yeah, it lacked that sort. You know, EPW are known for pretty much at the end, after like the final match, there's something that happens. Someone comes out or something like that.
Yeah,
there was nothing there. Now we do know that, you know, EPW had basically they had not even a week since Logan Gray did actually get injured.
Mm-hmm.
And so this match had to be elevated to the main event and to try and come up with something there.
Yeah, we were talking to somebody the other day, and we brought this up to them, and they said the fans have probably been conditioned now to expect something big, like an end of credits Marvel
scene. Post-credits scene, yeah.
Yeah, like something like that. But, I mean, it didn't have to be something massive, you know, not a beatdown, not explosions, not fireworks. But maybe something as simple as Damian Slater just walking out on stage and calling Marcus Pitt a loser and laughing at him, and then walking away. And you see Marcus Pitt maybe going, a bit more despondent than he did when he walked out of there.
Yep.
Or, head down and he's gone.
Even if, you know, Damien Slater and Amber came back out on stage and Marcus Pitt just walked past them just looking despondent and
like somebody ate his lunch.
And they followed him back out there. Just something like that.
Yeah, something very, very simple and subtle. That's all you really needed for that that ending.
But I will tell you one thing, though. For once, I actually agree with Gavin McGavin on something.
No.
I do. Gavin McGavin would say pretty much ever since Marcus Pitt versus Chris Weiss was announced it was going to be the main event of Collision Course, Gavin McGavin was saying that his match for the Coastal Championship should have been the main event, and I agree.
Yeah, I think just based off of, you know, it being for the title, it should have been bumped up there.
Yeah.
But even now in hindsight on the quality of that match itself,
yes,
it deserved
absolutely
to be that top spot.
And that's what I think. They went out there and they showed EPW management, you made the wrong decision here.
Yeah.
We've gone out. We've stolen the show, which I don't think anyone can deny. Even the boys at the back agree.
Yeah, they stole it so well that if somebody had pickpocketed me in the type of manner that they had stolen this show,
yep,
I would have told them to keep my wallet. Said, look, man, that was fucking great. You just have it. You deserved it.
Yeah.
Keep it. There's no money in it, but keep it.
And that's the thing. I mean, that match, they had pretty much about the same amount of time that Marcus Pitt and Chris Weiss had there, but they just got so much more in there. And that's the thing. Again, you know, the heel finish, but I would have been happy with that ending the show with just seeing Gavin McGavin standing tall there with his belt. I would have been much more happier just seeing it finish like that, other than just seeing two warriors like Chris Weiss and Marcus Pitt just walking out.
Yeah, main event was a great match. Don't get us wrong there. Mm-hmm. But the reason I think you probably enjoyed the Coastal Championship. That's the one, the Coastal Championship match even more, was because it had a story. It had a backstory going into it.
Yep.
Gavin McGavin, like you said, done the petition.
Yep.
He made some videos. There was he was posting about it all the time.
Yeah.
He was playing his part.
Yeah. There was nothing really building up for Marcus Pitt and Chris.
No, it was just announced and they try to piggyback off of the fact that they're two of the country's best.
Yeah.
And they're animals and they're going to put on a good match no matter where they are or what they're doing.
Which they did. That's it. We're not disputing that at all.
Oh, God, no, man. Yeah. I loved it. I loved it. Again, simple match. Beat the tar out of each other.
Yeah.
You don't have to. No frills, no spills, no bullshit.
Just, yeah.
You know. And I like the psychology of working the arms.
Mm.
But this also leads to the points we kind of wanted to make throughout our little review here about how some characters might need a bit of a tweak because they're getting slightly stale.
Yeah.
Now, you had an idea for Forbes with the Million Dollar Man type of gimmick.
Mm.
I mean, what else would you expand on with Forbes?
Well, he's got the new music, which I really like.
Which is good, yes.
Yep. You're kind of putting me on the spot here because I've kind of come up with everything there already.
Okay.
This is the discussion we had in the car earlier, and I think I was driving as well, so I'm trying to think of these things while I was driving. As I'm sitting here mocking with a steering wheel, sitting in front of the microphone here.
Funnily enough, that is how you actually drive.
It is, yeah, just sort of Stevie Wonder style, just la 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 la. just something there. That thing. I mean, I get the feeling that, you know, the crowd, they boo Forbes, but I kind of get the feeling they're just booing him now because it's like, we're used to booing you like this. You're not really giving us a reason to boo you anymore. We're just booing you because that's what we're used to.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. He needs to find that something there. And that's just that little tweak, I think, just to make him want to hate him. And that's the thing, by basically not looking down on them, making... Yeah.
Thinking he's above them.
Thinking he's above them. Yeah,
below him.
Like I couldn't remember before. Yeah.
It's just one of those tongue twisters.
Don't think they're below you. Think that you're above them.
Yeah, only simple little subtle things you got to change.
Yeah.
I mean, with the other matches, it kind of felt flat. I felt that, the Solution versus Headhunters match, crowd-wise, maybe was a bit flat. Same as Ward and Cousins.
Yeah.
I'm not singling anybody out per se like these guys because the matches were good.
Yeah,
in ring were good, but I think See, how am I going to make this point without sounding like a complete douche nugget? Well, to use your Stevie Wonder analogy, like Eddie Murphy told that joke about Stevie Wonder, you want to impress me? Take the wheel, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I think some of these younger guys, like your Jordan Bishops, even Julian Ward. I love Julian Ward, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's my boy, Blue.
Yeah.
He's my boy. But I think...
He's our best friend.
Jules, come back. No, but I think some of these guys, if they don't have high-profile stories leading into their matches for these events,
yep.
Which, I mean, the bookers can't write a lot of shit for everybody.
Yeah.
So I've been saying this a lot the last year or so. These young guys, take a page out of Taylor King's book and get yourself over. Reinvent yourself.
Get a YouTube page.
Not even that. Just put something up on Facebook on the EPW page of you cutting a promo, trying to generate some interest in your match.
Yeah.
If you don't have an angle, start one.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ, it's not hard. And if it's shit, EPW are going to tell you not to post it.
Yeah. But
chances are, you got to be creative to be a pro wrestler anyway, no matter how much.
If you've got a match that's been announced and it's just a match that's there for no reason...
Sell that shit.
Yeah. Make a reason. Make a reason as to why.
Do it yourself. Because you can get yourself over.
Yeah.
So, because you're not going to get a lot of mic time.
Yeah.
So you got to do it on your own time.
Yeah. And it's not just, going out on social media and everything as well. It's make yourself look like a superstar as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, all these guys, huge amount of talent,
Definitely.
That they could definitely go there, okay? But, I mean... Julian Ward, he's just got a pair of blue trunks.
Mm.
Nice and simple, okay? Cal Cousins, okay? Now, this is one that, since he made his debut back in Gold Rush, now, nothing against the kid at all, okay? He's got a heap of potential and talent in the ring. But the look there, it just doesn't make me look at him and think, yeah, that guy's a natural when it comes to wrestling, as the gimmick says. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
It's just, the black tights with natural down there.
But hopefully he's working on something.
Well, that's the thing. I am generally hoping that he is, because like I said, he does have the talent. But at the moment, it's just not quite grabbing me. And I think that the crowd, he hasn't really done anything other than a bit of taunting to show that he's a heel, but people are booing him. And I think that's just because they're like, We're going to boo you because, we know that Julian Ward's a good guy. We're going to boo you because He, that could be it. That could be the angle he's going for. He's wanting to get over as a heel by, calling himself the natural, but purposely not looking at that. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? But, they could also make a conscious effort, if you were to exchange with the crowd, trying to play with the crowd, and try and get yourself over and get them involved.
Yeah.
In the thing, it's a process, and not everybody's going to be the Rock.
Yeah.
But give it a go. I think with Julian Ward, he's a quiet guy. He admits he's not the most creative fella.
Mm.
But he's got the smarts up there, and I think in time we're going to see a very different.
Yeah.
Julian Ward, and to match his wrestling talent, really. Because once that clicks, superstar.
Yeah. I mean, I will also say, like I said, I'm not having a go at Cal Cousins or anything here, but that's the thing. We don't know, because I think he's one of the few guys, we haven't met him.
Not a lot. I think they might have fast-tracked him from the school.
Entirely possible.
That's probably how good he is.
Well, that's the thing, because I don't recall ever seeing him at the shows before... what was the last one? Gold Rush. That's the thing. We haven't actually had a chance to see him, introduce ourselves to him and everything. So I think we don't actually know what the gimmick is heading towards here.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to find out.
Yeah.
But hopefully he gets a bit of advice. And, if these kids are getting advice from the veterans, for the love of God, listen to them.
Absolutely.
Fuck. Take it under advisement. Think about it. You don't have to do everything they say because, only you know you.
Yeah.
But for the love of God, just at least try something.
Yeah, when you got guys like Davis Storm training you, Damian Slater training you.
Yeah, and creative Marvel's like the... I mean, Warship. Warship's a creative dude. He knows how to get a gimmick working. He knows how to be different.
Mm.
If he tells you something, a suggestion, listen to the man.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And that's the thing, you know, if you think, you know, you need to do something but you can't think of it, ask someone.
Yeah, there's someone, no dumb questions.
I mean...
Only dumb answers.
I mean, when you look at, okay, the Raven gimmick, okay, that was actually thought of up of by Scott Hall.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the thing. You don't have to come up with your own gimmick, you know. People are more than willing to help in the industry. I mean, even if we haven't said anything, you know, if you're not one of the guys that we've said something about here, but you want, you know, a fan input or something, ask us. We're more than open to it, aren't we?
Yeah. We know shit.
Yeah.
We don't know a lot of shit.
Yeah.
We know some shit.
Yeah. As Vicey said, we're not dumb cunts.
Yeah. Very true.
So, yeah.
Because going off of what we're talking about now, it actually, I've had a lot of thoughts lately about the future of EPW.
Mm-hmm.
Because Marcus Pitt, Chris Weiss, David Storm, and some of those guys, they're not going to be around forever.
No, they're not.
Okay. And the next generation of guys to hit the main event scene, you're probably looking at the guys now like Generation Zero.
Yep, Logan Gray.
Yeah, obviously Logan Gray's already there.
Well, but he's only just come in.
Yeah, but he's going to be there still. So you got him, Gen Zero, I guess guys like Warship, AZ.
Yep.
You know, Tyler Jacobs is still hovering around there. He can be put up into a main event anytime he likes. But he's kind of on the same track as David Storm.
Yep.
He's not going to be there forever, an in-ring competitor.
Yeah.
I mean, these next generation guys, have got it covered. They're on the right track. Mm. They know what they're doing. They know who they are.
Yeah,
pretty much. That's what it boils down to. Know who you are in the in the gimmick sense.
And when they move up, someone's going to move up into their
spot. Yeah, which is kind of why I'm concerned with these young fellas now.
Yeah,
I'm hoping they get their stuff together. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be hard for EPW and their fans to have that next level, because they've got a great main event, great mid card. Just got to get these younger guys to, get their shit together.
Let's not forget Gavin McGavin getting into that main event spot as well.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Gavin McGavin's going to be around for ages.
Or just if we didn't say it,
he'd going to rip us for it, yeah.
He would complain, yeah, so as he does.
Yeah, but, yeah, you know what I mean. So I'd really love these dudes. I hope they can, hope they find themselves.
Yeah.
And use a bit of initiative.
Yeah, and we hope that you have enjoyed our review of the show as well.
Yes, we do.
Give us your feedback, you know.
We're not going to listen to you.
Yeah. Hit us up on Facebook, you know, Drawing Heat Podcast on there. You can find us on Twitter at @DrawingHeat_pod, same as on Instagram as well.
Yep. Give us a bit of a rating on the iTunes if that's where you found us.
Yep. Look up Wrestle Radio Australia on the iTunes. Hit that subscribe button.
The Wrestle Radio Australia network is coming up large and in charge.
Oh, yeah. So we have, we're the top of the heap here, really, you know.
Only because we just released the last episode.
Well, it's not Josh Armour, no. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck Josh Armour, yeah.
No, Josh has got the new show.
Where the Action Is.
Yeah, sorry, I had a mind blank there. Where the Action Is with Josh Armour, which is basically just the old WRA renamed.
Yes.
Great show. He's got some awesome guests coming up.
Because WRA is now the name of the network.
Yep.
We've gone on our own.
Yep, on our own again.
Going out now on our own again. So we also have on there...
Axecast
with Josh the Axe Shooter, who's just finished up in MCW, Australia.
Yes.
Yep, he's going over to the United Kingdom.
He's
going
to blow up over there.
Oh, yeah. We wish Josh all the best. We know he's going to be huge over there.
Yep, and you got the...
Healing Out.
Healing Out with Muhammad Ali Vaez, one of the greatest mic men in the country.
Indeed. Even though he's not from our country, he's actually from America.
But he's in the country.
He's in the country,
so
yeah.
That counts.
Fair enough, then.
So hopefully we'll see a few more episodes from him very shortly.
Yep.
Very, very, very busy man with All Aussie Pro, which is helping promote House of Hardcore.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot going on.
Too sweet.
Too sweet, too sour.
Yeah. So, like I said, hit us up on the Facebook. If you've got any feedback or any questions, feel free to ask. If you want to come on the show, let us know. We've got a bit of a...
We will have to vet you, though.
Yeah, we have to vet you. You know, the spay and neuter as well. We do have the line that you have to get behind as well. That's what you go to the vet for, to get spayed and neutered.
not go to the vet. We have to vet you. I know. You dopey bastard.
You should have just left that. And
no, because it was a stupid joke, man.
So, that's all right.
Okay, I'll get one good joke a week.
You I'll edit it out then. If that makes
you
happy.
You can leave it if you like. Take a look at me now. It's just a fucking dumb joke.
Anyway. I think that's maybe the first, maybe second anyway I've hit in this show.
Which is good. You're down about 20 anyways.
I know. I'm pretty good, yeah.
Fucking awesome. New structure. Scripted.
Totally scripted. So, yeah, thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, also, EPW on Vimeo. Check them out on The Vault. Subscribe for $9 a month. You'll be able to see Collision Course. You can see Gold Rush, Hot Summer Night. So many more previous shows getting added. They're currently working through adding all of the shows from 2009 on there, including Reawakening 8, which was huge. Evo 2009, which I think was one of the last two-night Evo events as well, I think.
Yeah, did they do 2010 as a two-nighter?
I honestly can't remember.
Well, anyway, on The Vault, you will see
some
of Australia's best wrestling talents, including Shane Thorne and Nick Miller from TM61.
Yeah.
And many, many others.
Crackerjack. He's featured pretty heavily there in 2009 with the big invasion angle from MCW.
Yeah, Carlo, Cash Money, Cannon. You see Adam Brooks. Slex.
Slex is in there.
Yep, all those guys, man. Elliot Sexton, Mr. Juicy.
And we must send out a shout-out to Slex as well, whose family's going through a bit of a hard time now as well.
Yep, thoughts with him and his brood.
Until next time, though, this is Drawing Heat, and it's not just wrestling.
It's life. Peace.